14th story, the Danish captain. When I walked inside the church in Angelstad in Småland, Sweden, the first thing that caught my eye was two Danish flags. They were placed on top of a black shield, and in between the two Danish flags lay an old sword. I read the inscription in the shield. In memory of the Danish captain, who was arquebused, that means shot by a musket, near Hulda's second day of Christmas 1570. He was faithful in death as well in life. Given to the church by the Danish ladies, 1873. I looked around to see if there was anyone who could solve the mystery for me. Nobody was there, so I took a picture of the shield and drove back to the festival. Back home in Denmark, I did some research. Apparently, the Danish captain was 2 hours late for the departure of the Danish soldiers leaving Småland for their return to Denmark after the Nordic Seven Years' War. He was therefore executed. The story had been drawing headlines in the Danish magazine Illustrated Times back in 1872, and a collective of ladies, the Danske Damer, gave the shield to the church of Angelstad. There was a lot of questions in my mind, and this story is my suggestion to answer some of these questions.
In Annerstad, a small town about 10 miles south of Angelstad, the priest's daughter, Hilda, had fallen in love with a Danish captain. Hilda had heard the many rumours that soldiers from Denmark were savages who were raping and stealing their way around Småland. But she was a free-minded young woman, and not one to believe in rumours. Hilda first saw her captain one beautiful summer's evening, when she was on her way home from visiting Margareta, her best friend, who lived with her mother and father in the forest not far from Lake Bulman. On her way home, she walked down to Lake Bulman to get a glimpse of the beautiful sunset and its flickering lights on the water. And there he was. She stood there for a long time, gazing at the tall, handsome man leaning against a tree in the red light of the setting sun. He was singing songs from his homeland. A brown horse was tied to another tree nearby. She watched until the sun had gone down. Then it was getting a little cold, so she turned to leave, and a twig cracked under her foot. The man looked over, and when he saw her, he smiled softly and asked her if she would like him to escort her home. She accepted, and seeing she was cold, he placed his woolen military coat over her shoulders and invited her to sit upon the horse while he led it on foot. He walked the horse all the way to the priest's farm in Annerstad, and there he helped her down from his horse. He promised to come back another day, and he did. Twice a week he visited Hilda and started attending her father's church. Their love grew, and when 6 months had passed, they celebrated their engagement. Hilda's father had given his blessing, but to the people of Annerstad, this was an outright scandal. They had accused the priest and his daughter of fraternizing with the enemy. Nevertheless, the Danish captain and Hilda planned to marry as soon as this nonsensical war was over. Rumours of a peace treaty being negotiated had been circulating for months. It was clear that the war was coming to an end. The Danish king was bankrupt, and the Swedish king had gone mad. Finally, on the 13th of December, 1570, a peace treaty was signed in Stettin, in what is now Poland. the remaining Danish soldiers were making their final preparations to leave Smaaland. December 24th, Christmas Eve, was the highlight of the year in the churches of the Nordic countries. A celebration of the birth of Christ would normally have filled a church, and there would be people standing outside. But nothing was normal in times of war. It was nearly 5 o'clock. Snow was gently falling, and Hilda was on her way to her father's church in Anderstad. Beside her walked her best friend, Margrethe, with her family. As they walked, the two girls whispered to each other. "Your engagement party was so much fun. He's a wonderful man, your Danish captain," whispered Margrethe. "Thank you for coming," said Hilda. "I'm finding out who my real friends are." They giggled softly, and Hilda held Margrethe's arm a little tighter. "Thank you for bringing your family tonight," whispered Hilda. "It wasn't easy. My father first refused, saying that you were a family of traitors. But I told him how much you like your captain and that he is a good man. Then my father said it was fine, as long as this captain didn't speak to them in Danish." Hilda laughed and looked at Margrethe's father, a proud woodcutter. He looked straight ahead as he and his wife came up to the church. There they were greeted by the Danish captain, who told them how happy he was to see them all. He did it in perfect Swedish, with a little twist of the local accent. Margrethe's father couldn't help smiling just a bit. Though the church was half full, the priest delivered the Christmas service with passion, reminding all of the King who brought peace to Judea, and encouraging the people of Angelstad to pray for peace in their hearts as this terrible war was coming to an end. The priest suggested that when the Danish soldiers leave Smaaland, the people of Anderstad should stand by the roadside and say farewell in a friendly and decent manner. By doing so, they would pave the way for a future relationship between the Danes and the Swedes, based on kindness and Christian love. It was a good service, and when the priest stepped down, the Danish captain thanked him for his words. He agreed it was just a question of time before peace between the two nations would be a reality. Later that evening at the priest's house, Hilda's mother had made the Christmas dinner, a duck given by the Danish captain, with potatoes, nuts, and green kale. It was a feast in these hard times when food had been scarce. The priest asked the captain when the Danish soldiers were to be evacuated. "We will depart on the second day of Christmas," said the Danish captain. "But I will return to Anderstad as soon as I possibly can." Hilda smiled at the thought of her beloved coming back to be with her. The Christmas games commenced, and the night was full of joy and hope for the future, and the Danish captain slept in the guest bedroom. On the morning of the first day of Christmas, he returned to the barracks in Hulta to inform his men of the departure procedure the following day. Although the general had ordered the regiment to depart the barracks by 10 o'clock on the second day of Christmas, the captain wanted to make the most of his last hours with Hilda, so he informed his men that they would depart at 12 o'clock on the second day of Christmas. The men were pleased at the prospect of having a little more time in bed after Christmas celebrations, and it wasn't as if the general ever showed up at the barracks, so no one was concerned. He packed up his things so he would be ready to set off the next morning, and then he returned to the priest's house to make the most of his final day with Hilda, bringing with him his friend, a lieutenant. Margrethe came along too, and the first day of Christmas again was a day of food, games, and laughter. The lieutenant, however, did not seem as spirited as the rest of the party, and both Hilda and Margareta did not trust his nature. Later that evening, the priest said to the captain, "You are welcome to stay again, but you probably have to get back to the barracks ready for your departure tomorrow." The captain smiled and said, "It won't be a problem for me to stay one last night here. I have arranged it all. My men and I will be departing at 12 o'clock tomorrow, so we can enjoy the morning before I bid you all farewell." The lieutenant, however, said good night to the captain and his hosts, and went back to the barracks. It was approaching 12 o'clock on the second day of Christmas, and the captain arrived at the barracks. To his horror, he saw the general standing glaring at him with rage in his eyes. He had arrived late the previous night, and had ordered the men to be ready to leave at the agreed time of 10 o'clock. So the men had been waiting for the captain for 2 hours when he finally appeared.
"What is the reason for this delay? Why are you 2 hours late, when we have to depart from this godforsaken place?" said the general.
"I can explain," said the Danish captain. "I wasn't here yesterday evening and this morning because I was with the priest in Onnestad."
"And what were you doing with the priest?" said the general.
"Talking about how wonderful it is going to be when peace is here, and we can meet in friendship, Danes and Swedes," said the Danish captain.
"You are fraternizing with the enemy. Your lieutenant has told me everything, and here you are, bold enough to tell me lies about your whereabouts," said the general.
The captain looked at the lieutenant, who would not meet his gaze.
"I know about the unchristian games you played all day yesterday on a holy first day of Christmas," said the general. "We will hold a trial and make sure justice is done."
Trial was held, and the general ruled that his lack of discipline would not be tolerated. The captain was sentenced to death by firing squad. They stood the captain on a small hill and gave him one final wish. He asked if he could have one last meeting with his beloved. It was denied. He gave a necklace to the lieutenant, asking him to give it to Hilda. Then he cried out,
"I love you, Hilda."
The soldiers covered the captain's head with a black sack. They loaded their weapons, aimed and fired at the captain. The soldiers left Hulta and marched towards Skåne. On their way, they passed Onnestad, where the villagers lined the streets, waving to the Danish soldiers as their priest had asked. Hilda couldn't see her captain, but spotted his friend, the lieutenant. She ran to him and asked where her captain was. He handed her the necklace, and filled with shame at his cowardice, he said, "He has no use for it where he is now." The lieutenant shook his head. In the midst of those crowds of smiling, waving citizens of Onnestad, Hilda's face crumpled and tears sprung from her eyes as her heart shattered. Her father came to her.
"What is it? Where is he?"
"He is no more, father." And she sobbed uncontrollably in his arms. The next day, some of the Swedes who had been hiding in the forest came out, as it was now safe for them to move around. They found the body of the Danish captain on the hill in front of Hulta Farm. They carried the body to Ingolstadt, They were met by Hilda and her father, the priest of Annastad, who suggested to them that he was buried right next to the church wall. The Danish captain's execution had shaken the two villagers. Whatever they had felt about him before, they all thought the cruelty of the Danish general was brutal and unjustified. A funeral service was held in the church, and it was full of people from Angelstad and also people from Annastad were attending. Peace eventually came to Småland, and everyone celebrated. But the Danish captain was never forgotten.
That's a mistake.
Though the church was half full, the priest delivered the Christmas service with passion, reminding all of the king who brought peace to Judea and encouraging the people of Annastad to pray for peace in their hearts as this terrible war was coming to an end.
Very good.